When mom and dad are musicians, chances are the kids will play too.
My dad likes to start everyone with drums just because it's so important to have that rhythm.
On Insight Music, meet the Latour family and hear their story. The band just released its first CD, which was recorded at home. Death Party at the Beach is a post-punk new wave band from Sacramento. It started as a solo project in 2015. The four-piece group just released a new EP titled Absence. We're trying something new in this episode, an album review. Nick Bruner, host of Hey Listen, thinks that you should pay attention to Selfie from Sacramento rapper Bru Lee.
Working underpaid, I'm a slave to the rhythm, was a slave to the system, to the pain, start to kick
it. And finally, a solo performance by Chris Adams of Life in 24 Frames. Three albums in, there's been a change in band members and a change in sound. I'm Beth Ruriak. Insight Music is next. First, the news. From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight Music, a once-a-month compilation of some of the great music that comes through our studio and conversations with the people who write and perform it. I'm Beth Ruriak. Almost 20 years ago, Brian and Tatiana Latour fell in love. It's the beginning of a story that's still being written, and now it includes a family band. Brian sings and plays guitar and keyboard. His wife, Tatiana, sings. Their oldest daughter, Sitsa, plays electric bass. And little sister, Janina, occasionally plays drums. Drummer Alfonso Portella joined the band last year. Latour wrote and recorded its self-titled first album, At Home. It will be available digitally next month. The band recently stopped by to perform a few songs and to chat about the new record.
My wife and I met through music. She was a musician long before we met. When we got married, we started playing music together in various projects. And she is a founder of the group Daisy Spot. Mm-hmm. And so we did that together.
Did you get married because things were working musically and the partnership came that way?
We only dated for 6 months when we got married.
That's
I just
okay.
wanted to marry him. No, I'm just saying I don't, it wasn't any like, it wasn't an intuitive thing. We just felt like we wanted to get married. And it wasn't to do with the music?
Or no, not at all.
Anything. It was kind of cosmic.
Yeah, it was magic.
Well, you just celebrated your 19th anniversary,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Still cosmic and
yes,
magical?
Yes, of course.
Yes?
Yeah.
It right. becomes more magical with each passing moment.
You have coached him so well, Tatiana. And your daughter, Sitsa, is sitting here listening to the story. Are you embarrassed or is this charming to you?
I'm around it all the time, so it's not really surprising. I mean, it's all the time.
It's who they are.
It's who they are. Yeah.
We had many different configurations of just bands that involved the two of us leading them. And it wasn't until we landed on saying, hey, let's use all of us who live in this house together. Because both of our daughters have been musical since they were able to walk. Our younger daughter is very, very serious in ballet, as is Sitsa, but she's also so much into ballet, she's not as deeply into music. And her being only 12, we don't want to force the issue, but she has played with us on many occasions. That's why we got Alfonso here. So he's our surrogate youngest daughter right now. But no, he's fantastic.
Have you ever been introduced that way before?
As the youngest daughter?
As the surrogate?
Yes, by my actual father, yes.
What instruments do you play?
I started with drums when I was really little. My dad likes to start everyone with drums just because it's so important to have that rhythm before, you know, adding any sort of notes. I started with drums and I played guitar for a minute, but it was too tedious and I got really frustrated. And so I started playing bass and I fell in love with it because it was so similar to the drums.
And what does Janina play?
So Janina also plays drums. And also plays bass because I secretly want my daughters to be bass players. The whole
the
guitar,
secret's out now,
the
Brian.
Guitar thing was a ruse. I was hoping she would lead to bass. I think females playing these masculine instruments is very important. But and she also plays piano and sings. They both sing.
All right, that means, Alfonso, that you started out on drums. Eventually, someday, you're going to be a bass player in the band. Do you know that?
I just was talking to Brian about this, that
that's
my
right.
New Year's resolution is to play the bass this year.
So it's working.
Yeah, it's happening.
Let's listen to a little bit of the music. Then we'll talk specifically about the rhythm, the style, and the vibes. So here's music from La Tour. Tatiana, when do you know that a song is the La Tour sound?
Well, Brian and I have really similar influences in terms of like the music that we love. Our biggest influence is probably Bootsy Collins. We love his music.
Yes.
It was a big part of us coming together and just our romance. And we love DeBarge, Switch. The late 70s in particular had this really like raw, genuine, very vulnerable energy to the music. We all just kind of like a really sweet, slow groove.
I like that setup. For now, Brian, talk about what happens technically.
It's interesting that you asked Tatiana that question because anytime I write anything, I have to give it the Tatiana test. If she digs it, it's cool. If it doesn't hit her ear, it's out. So that's our secret weapon, is her ear. She has the golden ear. It's like a magic power she has.
I think the two of you have a lot of trust between you. And that's not a given in a band or in a marriage.
Yeah, I agree. And I think in a partnership, the ego has to be put away in order for it to flourish.
Yeah, that's one of the things that is amazing working with Brian, is that, in my opinion, he's kind of a weird genius. Like in terms of like the number of instruments he plays at this mastery level. I mean, he's kind of a badass. He's so humble and he's so zero ego, and you can tell him anything and he'll listen. And I have strong opinions and I put them on the table. He's not an ego cat. You know, he's mellow and humble. I really appreciate that. Particularly as a female for me, I've been playing music a long time and it's a very male dominated, you know, world typically. You know, every band I've been in, I'm the only female. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to have the confidence to put your ideas on the table, especially because I'm not a musician per se. I don't play an instrument. But Brian has always just really respected my ideas and any contributions that I make.
Dance was been so lonely. about clave rhythm.
The clave thing is around the whole Western Hemisphere, so it has to do with the African diaspora, the slave trade, and it's how we ended up with blues here in America. Afro-Cuban, Dominican, samba was born because of these cultures blending. Just as important as the clave rhythm is in Cuba or in Puerto Rico or in South America, I would say it's more important here in North America because we have the most popular music in the world. We invented rock and roll. Listen to any hip-hop song, any rock song, you're going to hear that clave beat.
Would you clap it?
It can be this. Or it can be this, if you're counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Usually the bass is always doing it, but a lot of people don't have ear for the bass. The piano, the vocals might be doing it, and that's what's so catchy around the world with hip-hop. And besides, of course, the lyrics being, you know, inspiring or revolutionary.
Let's see if we can all listen for it in this song, Gossip. Gossip by Latour. Their first CD is available at their shows by February. It will be available on Spotify. It needs to feel good to Alfonso Portella, mm-hmm. who's the newest member of the band, just about a half year now,
yeah.
right? You stepped into songs that were being refined.
That made it really easy for me, actually. They already knew what they wanted. I knew what they sounded like. I can learn them really quickly. I understand the vibe. You know, I grew up listening to that same kind of music, and so I picked it up really quick. And right away, I was thinking, this is one of the most fun bands I've ever been in.
Do we need to say a little bit of history here? The previous drummer?
Yeah, that was Patrick.
Patrick Shelley.
Patrick Shelley. Oh, he was lovely. We love him so much.
He's aight.
He's just a sweetheart. He went to attend the Berklee School of Music in Boston. We were really sad when he left, but then he told us about Alfonso, and it was such a good match. We were so happy.
Yeah. Did you have to audition?
No. I think I just showed up, and we started playing. I showed up and met them, and then we just had a rehearsal.
Yeah. We knew immediately, like, he was the one.
So we got recommendations for Alfonso on both coasts.
Oh, yeah.
So
we're
in New York. His name is Alfonso Coast to Coast Portella. We have a friend in New York who plays in
Chick Chick Chick.
And we asked him, hey, you know, can you recommend a drummer? Because he lives half time in Sacramento. He said, yeah, Alfonso. So that was the audition. Everyone's saying, he's a cool cat and he's a great player. And if you don't get him real quickly, that's a bad move.
Yeah, playing with Alfonso is so fun. It's so much fun because we really like bounce off of each other and we really blend well together.
Here's a recording from our studio with Alfonso in the band. Here's Latour.
Sun may shine, you see how much it means to me. when I first noticed your face, saw your face, noticed it brought me to a place. Saw your face, a place where I can be so free, be so free. Watch the clouds wash over me, be so free, 'cause that's the way it's got to be.
Okay, what's the goal with the band?
We'd like to see about festivals, things where we would actually fit in. We want to play with more like-minded bands who are maybe interested in the music of boogie and and dance, and put it to a wider audience. I think everyone loves to boogie in one way or another, and I think everyone loves to get down.
Sitsa, it's an interesting question for you, isn't it? Because you're 18. This would have been your senior year of high school. You're already graduated, and you have choices about your future.
All I know for sure is that I want to play music one way or another. It's my favorite thing. My favorite, favorite thing.
And I have to wish Alfonso good luck in being both the daughter and the lead drummer and another man in the band.
It's tough. I have a lot of hats to wear. A lot of very multicolored hats.
I feel like asking you, more importantly, where do you want to be as a musician?
It would be really nice to do this for a living, to tour and travel and share our music. It's something we put so much love and energy into. It would be nice to have that returned, you know, for all of us. All of us are performers in different ways. I mean, Alfonso, he's also a comedian. I would love to see, like, the music sort of support that and getting out into the world. And we would just like to be doing like art and performance and music for our livelihood.
That's Latour, the band and the family. Singer Tatiana Latour, her husband Brian, their oldest daughter Sitsa Latour on bass, and drummer Alfonso Portella. Their self-titled debut album will hit streaming music services next month. We also have some videos of the band performing in our green room, and you can find it all on our website, capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight Music from Capital Public Radio. You're listening to Insight Music on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The track you're hearing now is Losing Sleep by Death Party at the Beach. It's a post-punk, new wave-influenced band in Sacramento. It was started by singer and guitarist Lance Derowin. The full band now includes Nate Webb on guitar and keys, Aaron Aparicio on bass and vocals, and drummer Kevin Stefanescu. Death Party at the Beach just released its second EP titled Absence. The band stopped by the Insight Studios last week to talk about it with the host of Hey Listen, Nick Bruner.
I've been around the block a few times. I've had a handful of death parties in my day, but none of them at the beach.
Yeah.
So, Lance, explain yourself. Where does this name come from?
It's just a play on words. It doesn't really mean anything. I mean, people try to, like, always say, like, what's behind it. But I wrote a song with that title on it, and I basically just... I was like, huh, that should be a band name rather than a song title. So it was just something that just came in my head one day. Yeah, sitting in my car in my driveway. And I was like, I should call my band this.
So how'd you guys all meet and start playing music together? Because this started off as a solo project,
yeah.
Right, Lance?
Mm-hmm. I put an ad out. From the beginning, I was in a bunch of bands, basically, that, you know, I just sang in. And writing the music or doing anything like that. So the last band I was in, it just kind of didn't go anywhere. So I just... you know? Thought I would just start writing my own music, you know, because I never really did that. Like, all the parts and everything just to kind of make it, you know, be mine, I guess. And then eventually, like, you can't really do anything by yourself. You can't just be one person. I mean, you can go and do, there's people that do it, but it kind of, it just seemed better to make it more of a band format rather than just being like a solo thing. So I met Nate off of Craigslist. He had similar interests of music, so we kind of just combined our both of our like ideas and started just writing new songs and stuff, and it kind of started like that.
Nate, was Lance on your radar when he reached out to you about the band?
I had never met him in my life.
Mm-hmm. No.
He had three tracks in his ad, and I listened to him. I really liked him. I was like, huh, this dude isn't trying to write really complex music. It's like really straightforward, and that's how I write music.
My mind races all the time.
How did your personal sounds adapt or change when joining the band, Nate? Had you already played this kind of like sunnier, poppier style of guitar, or was this sort of a new endeavor for you?
He introduced me to heavy reverb and like vibrato in the tone. I never really messed with that before. I mean, a reverb I did, but like not like saturated, like where it really reverbed out. I never used to play with a pick till I met him either.
Oh, really?
He insisted I use a pick. He's like, that doesn't sound very clear. I was like, okay.
And a capo, too.
And yeah, exactly. The capo, that thing, man, like, yeah, that opened up a whole new world, like, on a guitar. Like, I'd never messed with it before.
So what kind of an adjustment was that for you?
At first, I was like, really? Do I have to do this? But then after, like, not even a day of doing it, I was like, wow, why didn't I do this before? Like, you can play a chord down here, and all the open strings can revert way down the neck. So like you play a chord that you can't physically play because you can't stretch that far, if that makes sense.
Lance, it sounds like you've changed the life of your guitarist.
I think we both, you know, he has things that, you know, he showed me as well, so vice versa.
Aaron, did Lance make any demands of you and your bass playing?
He didn't. I mean, when I came in, they already had at least like 10 plus songs already previously recorded. So there wasn't a whole lot of room for me to necessarily like do anything different other than what he had recorded. So I just came in. I'm actually originally I'm a guitarist. They hit me up when I was in a studio room down the hallway from them at House of Hits Rehearsal Studios, and I was playing guitar. And they're like, hey, do you want to fill in on a couple shows but play bass? And then I never stopped, so.
How about you, Kevin? Was there any, how's your origin of the band?
Found them on Craigslist as well. And then Aaron got in contact with me. And I've been playing in bands all over the area for a long time. And so they were doing something different, something that I haven't heard really before. And especially the old EP was really different compared to what's around. In Sacramento, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was just interesting. And I'm a clean drummer as it is. I'm very, like, precise and, like, kind of really specific about what I hit when. So it kind of fit with me.
So I'm told that we have something a little special here about the in-studio performance that you guys recorded. Lance, you want to walk us through what is so special about it?
Well, it's going to be a new song. It's an exclusive for you guys.
Hey.
It wasn't on our new EP. But it will be our next single, so you guys have it first.
And it's called Caught in the Crossfire?
Yes.
Let's have a listen.
Baby, now I'm talking to you. From the moment I saw you, like I feel like it's true. Every day that I look at you, like I feel like a rock. But I know in my heart that I'm wasting my time. From all
makes me feel so bad, don't it? I'm meant to say hello, and then I'll take you home to your.
You were just listening to the broadcast debut of Caught in the Crossfire, a track from our guest's Death Party at the Beach here on Insight Music. So you released an EP in 2016 that was self-titled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Absence last year, 2017.
Yeah.
Tell me what has changed about your sound within the band within that time from 2016 till now.
A lot of things. New, you know, members. These guys add, you know. It just gives it a different flair. It's not just, you know, me writing everything. It's basically all of us as, you know, as a unit.
Our guests are Death Party at the Beach here at Inside Music. Lance, Nate, Aaron, and Kevin. Guys, thanks so much for coming by Capital Public
Thank
Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can watch a video of Death Party at the Beach performing a song in the Cap Radio Green Room. Find it on our website, capradio.org/insight. This is Insight Music on Capital Public Radio.
It is when you hear this, it won't matter. People will still be arguing who's the best rapper.
Welcome back to Insight Music on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Perhaps you've heard of Sacramento musician Brew Lee. For his latest record, Lee spent time engrossed in the history of the self-portrait. So naturally, he titled the album Selfie. Cap Radio's Hey Listen host Nick Bruner has a review.
This is the first hip-hop record I can think of that goes back to 1839 for source material. See, that's the year photographer Robert Cornelius is credited with taking the first ever self-portrait, the very first selfie. And if you haven't noticed, that trend has caught on. 21st century selfie culture is at the heart of Brew Lee's newest record, and it also isn't, but we'll get back to that. This album is studded with guest vocalists, like this cut that features Brew and DJ Billy Lane reciting as many lyrics that begin with the letter P as 2.5 minutes will allow.
I paint poetry, it's important to me, I paint potently, microphone screaming open me, Pacific Ocean, the beat, poems is powerful, each phrase a powerful, Pino Glenn, expand, take your mind to the promised land.
Prolific prose ping pong perpetually passed from pugilist to pugilist, and what could be played off as a gimmick feels natural and fun. Checking Out is a blues-inflected track, and it shares vocal duties with Sacramento MC Poor.
This wonderful weather, whenever I awake, get dressed and fresh, brush the teeth, brush the waves. Just got paid, grab my shades, hit brew up. On my way, see some chicks stand, chuck the deuce up.
Poor is a part of the Sacramento hip-hop trio Tribe of Levi. All three members appear over the course of Selfie next to Brew's other collaborators like Jimmy the Saint and Wu-Tang Clan's Killa Priest.
The mic's a king cobra, look like green clovers, leaned over like a sofa. Supreme culture, wing sculptures, ultra nova, Nova Scotia, magnetic flower. Army rise to the top like suns when you shake the soda, the takeover.
Okay, so back to that title and the concept of the record overall. How does that fit in? Well, on the surface, Selfie is the very first record that sports Bru Lee's face on the cover. Okay, appropriate enough. But listen deeper, and you'll hear themes of antisocial self-absorption explored during quick skits. These are like the accent walls of the album. They're decorative and colorful.
By moving the camera away from the central subject of the selfie, selfie sticks create the illusion that other objects, places, and even people exist.
I mean, come on, that's funny. That's Paul Verhoeven RoboCop funny.
Who hasn't been thrilled by the self-photographer? Those fabulous NARS artists who allow us to bask in the brightness of their shine.
When barely any of the music references the title's subject matter, these skits exist to add a through line to a record that's already overflowing with personality, memorable beats, and tight rhymes. Bru Lee has given us an album that rewards listening start to finish. No easy feat in a time where the selfie holds sway and attention spans for full albums grows shorter and shorter.
They used to be focused on just themselves, like how their hair was the bomb or how adorbs their new shoes were. Just hashtagging, hashtagging, hashtagging. Now they realize they can take pictures that capture so much more. And I hate that.
That's Nick Bruner with a review of Selfie, the new album by Sacramento rapper Bru Lee. You can read more about the album this weekend on the NPR music series Heavy Rotation, which Nick contributes to. I'm Beth Ruriak, and this is Insight Music on Capital Public Radio.
Whose world is this? The world is yours. The world is yours. The world is yours. Stay human. It's your world. You gotta stay human. Yeah, it's your world. Stay human, yeah. It's your world, gotta stay human. It's your world, please stay human. It's your world, gotta stay human, yeah. It's your world, please stay human, yeah. It's your world, gotta stay human. It's your world.
Welcome back to Insight Music, our monthly showcase of what's happening in the regional music scene. I'm Beth Ruriak.
If I should ever stray far, nothing could ever tear apart.
Before the holidays, Chris Adams of the band Life in 24 Frames came by to talk about the group's third album. It's titled Control Plus Z, and Chris did a solo acoustic performance. Well, we loved the music, and we recorded even more after our show ended. So here's the music and our conversation about how the band members and the sound of the band have changed since the 2014 album titled Bitters End.
We had members leave as we were going into writing a lot of the new material, and it actually ended up being a really good thing because it ended up just being the three of us, myself, Joey, who plays drums, and Jason, who plays bass. It brought the core of us together even stronger, and I think it reflects a lot on Control Z. It happened quick, and it was kind of a shock. Luckily, we were just in writing phase, so okay. I was doing a lot of the writing just on my acoustic guitar, and it hadn't gone any further than that yet. When we moved forward to writing full band material, we kind of had to adapt. Our band at one point was large.
Right.
There was a lot of people in it, and so we scaled back quite a bit, and it's been really nice, actually.
I'm so glad you're here this morning to bring us some live music, and you're going to play something from the new album. Do you want to say a little bit about it before you start?
The song or the album?
Both.
It's a really personal album for me, actually. It's Control Z is 12 songs. All 12 songs are the 12 months of the year. It kind of chronicles my year, 2013, when we had our first son. And so each month really kind of represents, I guess, what I was going through emotionally and mentally that year.
So the song you're going to play is what stage, which month of the year?
This is the shock stage. This is March. Yeah, it's a little early on. We had found out that we were going to have a child in January. So it actually works out. He was born in September.
So this is Chris Adams performing live. Chris is from Life in 24 Frames. Chris Adams, singer and guitarist for Life in 24 Frames. If that song is about shock, you handle shock in a most gentle way, I have to say.
There's a lot more shock on the album.
It's quite an experience to take something you live through and turn it into something concrete, isn't it?
During that year for me, I kept a lot of notes and I wasn't writing. And I waited a year to revisit all of my writing and notes, and then make songs of them or try and make songs of them. And so I actually found it kind of bittersweet to revisit all that stuff after I could lay at night and watch my son sleeping and writing the material about him. He's four now.
And you have a
2-year-old.
A 2-year-old, too. Yeah. So life is busy. There is a song titled September, which goes to the birth of your son.
Mm-hmm.
Will you tell me about your son knowing about that song?
My mom always, she tries to make it very clear to him that, like, hey, this music is about you, you know? And she always plays it for him. And he has attended a few of our shows and concerts over the last couple of years. I wanted to get a tattoo of song lyrics. I've been wanting to get a tattoo of song lyrics for a very long time, and I just couldn't decide whose lyrics I should get tattooed on me. And then I thought, I don't know, is it a weird thing to get my own lyrics tattooed on me? Because if there's any lyrics that I would want tattooed, it would be the ones that are written about the day my son was born, which is what September is. I ended up getting them tattooed down my rib cage on my right side. My son is fully aware, at 4 years old, is fully aware of what those are, and so he always calls it his song. So when I'm walking around the house or whatever with no shirt on, he'll, you know, come up and ask if he could touch his song, you know, and touch my tattoo. So as he gets older, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how he reacts to the album, because there is a lot of raw spots in the album that I was pretty open and honest about lyrically. There's no hiding that from him, so it'll be interesting to see how he reacts to it as he gets older. It'll also be interesting to see what my 2-year-old says when he's older and he doesn't have an album written about him.
Or a song tattooed on his dad's body.
I'm gonna have to figure something out here. I'm gonna have to write a Terrible Twos album or something for my youngest. Hopefully, if he's musically inclined as he gets older, hopefully this is one song that he covers.
Let's listen to a little bit of September. Decided, Chris, to do a little more with this music than Control Z, than just that album.
Mm-hmm.
Why and what else?
Lyrically, the album is so powerful for me. My bandmates are so amazing on this album, and they really made the album what it is musically, and our producer as well. One day I was sitting on my back patio playing these songs from Control Z on my acoustic guitar and singing them and thinking, I'd love for these songs to be as powerful as they are on the album now, with all the music stripped back, with nothing but just the acoustic guitar and my voice. I was listening to a lot of Neil Young, and he had released Hitchhiker recently, which was an album from the 70s that never got released. As the story goes for him, it was just him and one other guy in the studio, and he recorded the whole thing live. And it's very raw and very emotional and very messy, kind of. There's a lot of little flaws, and I thought I would love to do that sometime. But I didn't want to write a bunch of new material and then do an acoustic album and then also have a Life in 24 Frames record. So I thought it'd be a really good idea to just go back to the studio with just myself and the producer and re-record this whole album in one sitting with just myself and a guitar. All the mistakes there, no overdubs, voice cracking, anything that happens just kind of happens. I talked to our producer about it, our engineer, and he thought it was a really good idea, and so we kind of booked stuff out for next month. And I will be writing 3 new songs. This is going to be the weird part for me. There's 3 songs on the album that are just soundscapes. February, August, and October aren't really songs, they're noises. And so I've gone back now, 4 years later, revisited those months, and have rewritten new songs for those months. And those will be on this new, I think I'm going to call it the addendum. So it'll be like an acoustic version of Control Z. I'm a little scared, actually, to do it because I'm not a solo artist. My bandmates are what make me good or what make the band good. And it's a little anxiety inducing thinking about it. Even doing a performance like, you know, this is slightly tough for me because I typically don't do it by myself. But that's why I'm doing it, because I feel like it would push me forward as a person and as a musician also. You know, the engineering room in the Stinson Beach studio is on a different floor than the live room. So I won't even be anywhere near Robert, our producer. I will just be sitting in this giant room by myself, looking out this giant window over the ocean and being able to like relive all of that stuff while I'm recording it by myself and not have anybody watching on. Hopefully can get the most raw performance that I possibly can. And it'll be hard, but fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Watching time go by, stripping me of my former life. Long and pointless fights. I don't want to die. Memories will eat me alive, like a fire burns so bright. Lights in the night sky. Head and heart are just one and the same. It'll take more to get me to change. All those nights that I heard you screaming my name. Floating in the bliss, weightlessness I could admit brings me back to earth. And coming down from this, and all of the things that I would miss for what it's worth. Like my son's birth. Head and heart are just one and the same. It'll take more to get me to change. All those nights that I heard you screaming my name. Head and heart are just one and the same. It'll take more to get me to change. All those nights that I heard you screaming my name.
That's Chris Adams from the Sacramento band Life in 24 Frames. The new album is titled Control Plus Z. You can hear more conversation and see our videos with Chris at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight Music for this month. I'm Beth Ruriak. Our producers are Jen Picard, Chris Remington, and Cody Drabble. Thanks to Nick Bruner, Chris Hagen, and Andrew Nixon. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Anthony Van Hook helped with engineering. Our executive producer is Joe Barr. Have a great weekend. Go out and listen to some live music.